The following audio is from The Village Church. More information about The Village Church is available at www.thevillagechurch.net.
Hey, bless you tonight, and it's great to see you. I'll say a couple things, man. I'm always grateful for the way the Lord stirs in our hearts to be a part of kingdom work. And so just a couple things real quick. Praise the Lord for what he did through Young Life Camp. A couple weeks ago, we had Capernaum, where we had special needs kids that we were we had that camp that we were hosting up here. And so praise the Lord that that's what you're a part of, and that's what you're doing, whether or not you're physically here or not. And so I'm grateful for that. We just had a group of our kids and adults that just got back from Canada for mission trip up there, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, one of our high school girls was told, you're crazy for believing that Jesus gospel stuff. In fact, you've been brainwashed. And so, man, she got a lesson in knowing what it looks like to suffer for Christ's sake. And so that's part of what you, how the Lord used you. You sent them up there. We just had a group get back from Guatemala, from India, from Romania a couple weeks ago. And so, man, I'm just so thankful for all that the Lord continues to do in you, through you, for the glory of God. Amen? I just can't be thankful enough. In fact, yesterday was part of a funeral for a young man, another young man in my neighborhood where I live. That is so, it's not anything unlike the neighborhoods where you live, but we had another young man that went to Hill, my son's junior high, who was out on a Monday night way too early in the morning being out and was just walking to a convenience store, had some gang members, most likely they believe, that drove by and just fired out of their vehicle over to Christopher Gordon. And Christopher was struck in the head, taken to the hospital, and died. Early Tuesday morning just last week. And yesterday was his funeral. The family had no means whatsoever to be able to pay for that. And so your dollars, what you give is unto the Lord. We took that as from the Lord, and we were able to help offset cost so that we could properly bury Christopher. So I just think about how the Lord stirs in your hearts, and I can't tell you enough as your pastor how thankful I am for you, and how proud I am of you in the right way, and how just to God be the glory. I just praise him for you, for your lives, man, and for how you have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit here in this city, how you want to worship the Lord. I just can't tell you enough, and so I just want to say thank you. And so we had an opportunity yesterday to share the gospel with several who were there, particularly one young man at the end who, it was just a great one-on-one opportunity to talk to that young man about the Lord. Now, I join with you that I am sick of what the enemy is doing to steal, kill, and destroy teenagers and young lives in this city. And I just want to continue for us, by his grace, to do our part in pushing back darkness and being faithful to run to the city of Dallas and literally live as those who are a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is our worship, right? Some worship is song, which we do in here, and a lot of worship is how we live through the week as salt and light, laying it down for the sake of the gospel for the one who laid it down for us. Amen? So I just want to see more of that. So Transform, huge kickoff to the year of being able to be in the schools, which God has given us crazy favor to be in. They've invited us in, and so it's just another means of grace and God's blessing and favor on us to jump in the middle of those schools. Not that your school is any worse than any other school. I graduated from Bryan Adams, and it is, it's just enough said about BA. Hey, let me tell you something. You go down to Highland Park, they got their junk there too, babe. Come on now. I mean, you go over to, you name your school in this city, man, every school's in need. Every house in this city is in need. And so I'm just begging the Lord to continue to dispense the grace necessary and for us to be about those things that are primary, namely the worship of his son and properly fearing the Lord that informs our hearts on how to live in this city for the kingdom of God and for his glory. So there's a lot of work to be done. And the next couple weekends, we get to be a part of that. And it's just the beginning of a school year of being able to pour more time and energy into that school. And so Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. That's where we're going tonight. I want us to continue to grow in wisdom, brothers and sisters. I want us to keep growing up in wisdom. The art of skilled living. That's what wisdom is. It's the art of skilled living. It's really understanding, walking in understanding and discretion, discernment. All of these words are just, that Solomon just has layers of these words so that we can just continue to get a picture, namely through the book of Proverbs, really what the wise, skilled kind of living looks like, just the wise life. And I want our campus, Steve Harden, God wants Steve at 51 to continue to grow in wisdom. There were things that I did as a younger man that I did as a foolish younger man. I did as a foolish younger married man. I did as a foolish younger pastor. I just was at a young age. There were things that I needed to learn, that I needed to grow in wisdom in. Like when you first get married at the age of 20, you don't serve your wife by washing her clothes on hot and drying them on hot. Come on. That's not wise. Hey, baby, I did your clothes. They're that small, honey. And then there are parts of your wife's clothing that you never touch in the wash. Come on now. I'm just helping you out for one of these days. Some things need to hang dry. And as a young man, I needed to learn those things. And 31 years later, come on now, by the grace of God, Daddy has learned. I have grown in wisdom. So you come over to my house now, whenever I get a hold of clothes and washing, stuff's hanging all over the house. I love it. Neighbors come in, yeah, you got that. That's what that is. It's so fun. So I've, by God's grace, I still have a long way to go. I wish that the way I handled finances, you know, nobody, now I'm gonna take that back. I think I had a lot of people that tried, but I was such a foolish, naive young man. And I'm sorry to say that I didn't listen to good wisdom when it came to finances when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'll just go out, we need that, we need that. I was just foolish as a younger man, you know? And the Lord is growing me in wisdom. And some of that wisdom has been done through correction. And so I want us to grow up. As your pastor at the age of 51, I just speak as a shepherd and as a dad and as one who has been given the authority and the right by God and Scripture to be able to share the heart of God with you tonight and with me about this idea of walking in greater wisdom and really letting all of that permeate and let all of that wisdom really come from one thing foundationally, and that one thing permeates all of Scripture's. It's just not the theme of Proverbs. It is the theme of the entire Bible. It is this understanding and this idea and this teaching on the fear of God. It really is having a proper view and understanding of who God is. And that fear of God is not the kind of fear that we run from as Christians. It's the kind of fear that drives us to the Lord because He is so gracious in it. Amen? So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. These Proverbs that we're studying these days are for us to be able to know wisdom. He's laying these before so that we could know and walk in wisdom and instruction to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice and equity, to give prudence, verse 4, to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a Proverbs and a saying, excuse me, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Proverbs 9:10, the word says, Solomon says again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so I just want us to think about tonight, just in the few minutes that we have, what is wisdom? When we think about wisdom, it's hard just to give one good biblical definition of what wisdom is. The Hebrew word literally means it is the art of skillful living. It means to grow in skilled living. And so as opposed to just giving a real clear-cut definition, what the Bible does is it provides a picture of wisdom. It provides different words that describe wisdom. It provides a description of what wisdom looks like and how wisdom acts, right? I mean, it just describes for us what it looks like and how it acts throughout the book of Proverbs and throughout the Word. And so in these verses, like verse 2, there is the word instruction. And it literally can be translated discipline. These are just layers and layers and layers of helping us get a glimpse and an understanding of the fullness of what God is after when He's calling us to wisdom. So these words help describe what wisdom looks like. Instruction can be translated discipline. It's the idea of being educated through correction. How many of you have been educated? You've become wise through correction. You were corrected. Come on, all five of us. That's great. Washing clothes. I could just start naming them and go down the list from the little really insignificant examples to the really crazy, deep, significant examples of how the Lord has used correction in my life, and that is loving. And so I just want to challenge you, young brothers, and you don't have to be young to be foolish. I know older men and women who are fools and naive. It's a shame. They haven't grown in wisdom. And so the Lord uses this word instruction as an example of what it means to grow in wisdom. And so when a brother or a sister come to you and attempt in gentleness, that's the key, and in grace and in love, always led by the love of Christ, to correct something that may be off in your life thinking or in your speech or in your habits, that is love. It would bid you well to hear their wisdom and their grace and to have, by the help of the Holy Spirit, correct your movement or your form or your habits. Amen? Instruction. Here's the other one. Just layers upon layers. Discernment. Another picture of wisdom. This is the ability to be able to look at two things, and I think they're on the screen, and see what God sees. The ability to be able to look at two different things and see what God sees, and to be able to tell the difference between what is good and what is evil. I mean, you just have the ability, that's growing in wisdom, to be able to see, that's good, that's not good. That thing, that activity, that thought, that direction, that propensity, that habit, these are good things, and that is not a good thing. That's what God grants as time goes by to the wise. That's what wisdom looks like. Here's another one, understanding. It implies, not only implies discernment, but it's the ability to understand why God even prefers one over the other. You just begin to get deeper into the heart of God. You just begin to understand. There's nothing like being around a woman or a man of understanding, is there? Those are wise people. You know, I'm thankful for this campus because I know that there are a lot of you that walk in a lot of understanding. In fact, you've been good counsel for me as your pastor. And I'm really grateful for that. The church needs understanding. This area of wisdom is what the church at large lacks. We lack this. We run so fast with a lot of activity and action, and so much at times, I think, a lot of energy and a lot of zeal, but there are times that we lack knowledge. We just lack knowledge and understanding. Steve Harden does. That's right. I feel that way too. Prudence is the next layer. Prudence, it's a spirit-born cleverness. Now, there's a word for cleverness in the New Testament that we use that is a negative word. This isn't the word for cleverness that we're talking about. This is a spirit-born cleverness that understands the trend of events, inherent dangers before us, and avoids the pitfalls of life. It's just able to look ahead, and you're able to just understand trend of events, inherent dangers. We need to walk by God's grace in greater prudence. Amen? It's just looking down the road by God's grace and going, that's not a good direction. There are things about that or about those decisions that's just not going to be good for me. And then there is knowledge, verse 4. This is more than possessing just information. It is a knowledge that is deeply personal and experiential. Have you ever been around those people, and I've been that guy, that they can talk a lot about something, but you get the feeling that they really don't have much of a knowledge really or experience of that thing? Come on now. A lot of talk. So when I studied Pikes Peak, you know, the mountain of Pikes Peak back in college, and long for being able to go to the mountain of Pikes Peak up in Colorado Springs, Colorado, or wherever it is up there. I preached a youth camp, the Colorado Baptist State Youth Camp, and I remember always talking about how, man, I love the mountains. I love the mountains. Man, let me tell you something. I'd only been to the mountains once in my life. Old boy from East Dallas. I'd gone up on a Young Life ski trip because the girls they loved Jesus so much. And I wanted to be around them. And so I'd been up there one time, and so I became an expert on all things mountain region. And I didn't know anything about mountains, man. And then a guy named Gary Seal said, "You want to go up on top of Pikes Peak?" "Yeah, man, let's go." Let me tell you, man, 14,000 feet later, the tree line ended at 11,000 feet, where by the time you hit 11,000 feet, you're in a vehicle. Now, we could have walked it, and I wasn't going to do that. I mean, I got the body to do it, but I wasn't going to do it. And so, come on now. And so, man, I mean, I got in a vehicle. We started driving up at 11,000 feet, man. I mean, he was driving, and I was looking over the side of the mountain. It freaked me out. You're looking down. There's no trees to stop you, no rocks to stop you, no guardrail to stop you. I could have died on the scene. And then when we got up there in the middle of July, it was freezing, man. It was snowing up on top of that thing. I didn't know anything about Pikes Peak, let me tell you. There are a lot of us, and I certainly don't want to presume upon the wise life or upon the fear of the Lord as if I have great knowledge of either. You hear what I'm saying, church? There's some things about the Lord you just won't know. He's too unfathomable. He's just too deep. He's endless. And so there are some things about experience that the man or the woman who walks in wisdom, God grants knowledge. And that the beautiful thing about the knowledge of the Holy One is that that knowledge is a knowledge of God Himself that He grants to you. That's an insight about Him that He gives. So knowledge. And then the last thing is discretion. This is huge. My brothers and sisters of Dallas campus, if there is something that we need to continue to grow in wisdom on this campus, your pastor, you, I say this lovingly, we need to grow in wisdom. And one of those areas of wisdom that needs to continue to, I pray, be understood is this idea of discretion. That's the idea of avoiding harm by foolishly proceeding with ill-advised plans. That's knowing that down the road there is danger, and we know that that's not wise. We know it's not good. We know that activity will rob from us an affection for the Lord, or that group will rob from us an affection from the Lord, or those late hours might rob from us an affection of the Lord. Uh-oh, here we go now. Or that place, or that particular restaurant, or that drink, or too many of those drinks, or that look, or that touch, or that gaze. I mean, I could just go on and on and on about what's in my own heart. And I just want to call, by God's grace, the church, you and I, wisdom is calling out from the streets of God. And He is saying to us, wisdom is saying, walk with discretion, my young brothers and old brothers and young sisters and old sisters. God is calling us to walk in wisdom. All that wisdom. There is a wisdom that comes, hear me. There is a wisdom that in the end, there is a wisdom in the world that we can walk in. I want you to hear this, okay? Are you with me? Are you listening? All two of you. That's great. Boom, boom. There is a wisdom that you will walk in. that one day will be your destruction. I'm serious. If it's not based on the fear of the Lord. There is a wisdom that is a worldly wisdom that we think we've been walking wise and knowledgeable and in understanding. And Romans 1 makes it clear that, man, we've been walking in our own understanding. We've been orbiting our mindset and philosophy of life and our theological presuppositions around our ideas, our thoughts. We have been worshiping the Creator, the created, as opposed to the Creator. And there is a wisdom of the world that will lead us outside of Christ. You will find out, many will find out that there is a wisdom that they were living in that will only lead, it won't lead to life, it will lead to destruction. But the wisdom we're talking about is the wisdom that's founded in the fear of the Lord. Amen? And so let's look at that for a moment. What is this fear of the Lord? You know, Stephen, you talk about the fear of the Lord, man. I don't really, that just kind of goes against the grain of all that there is that I've known about the Father who has shown himself to be loving and gracious and merciful. And this Son who has loved me so much that he's laid his life down for me. And so this talk of fearing the Lord, I'm just a little uneasy with that. Don't be uneasy with that. It is the fear of the Lord that as a follower of Jesus Christ has given you by God's grace the knowledge of the Holy One. It is that fear that God has used to teach you and to draw you and to open up your eyes. It is the foundation of what real wisdom is. And true wisdom is a knowledge of God himself. That's a gift from the Lord. We're not talking about this kind of fear again that drives us away from the Lord, but this kind of fear that by God's grace drives us to the Lord. It's that filial fear that the Puritans talked about, that a childlike fear in a righteous, good way. It's to have this, if I can, it's to have this beautiful, glowing love for God on the one side and this unbelievable, holy, reverential fear and awe of God in the right way on the other side. And the two are not incompatible. The two, they complete one another. That's what it means to be a man or a woman who are the recipients and the benefactors of the grace of God. It is the grace that has taught my heart to fear. To know that I need him, to have my life orbit around him, to have my life believe that his word, that God is so good to show me that his word is true. This word is absolute. He is faithful to his word. Man, this word is believable. And what he says, he will do. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's believing in the words of life, Jesus himself, and God gives that, and it's orbiting my life around that reality, that word, saying I am subservient to him, and I joyfully, willfully, I see the godness of God because he has opened my eyes to see, and then I see the graciousness of God. He has opened my eyes to see how gracious and beautiful and wonderful he is. That is a beautiful gift from God. Amen. And I praise him for that. So bless his name. Amen. I think about Noah. I'm not talking about Russell Crowe Noah. I've been waiting on somebody to make a movie about Noah forever. I'm serious, man. Animals, every, you know, two by two. I mean, how awesome of a movie would that be? I mean, to see that. I'm serious, man. Creeping things, walking things, flying things, big things, little things. I'm going to write a song. I'm going to put a rap together, Adam. And so, I'm just kidding. I just could not wait for a movie to come out about Noah. God, in his mercy, I mean, destroying the history of mankind that was just evil, and in God's sight, just at enmity with God. And then God called out the Christ-type man, Noah. And he said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Now, when Noah heard that, at first he was, I mean, you think about that. I would have been terrified. You're going to destroy the earth, and you want me to build an ark. Okay. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that out of reverent fear, a holy fear. Noah, out of relationship with the Father, with the Holy One. See, what the true fear of God looks like, it's relational. He's our covenant-keeping Lord. Are you getting this tonight? He is our Lord. And out of that covenant-keeping God who has called us into a binding relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ, God said to Noah, you do this. And Noah, out of a holy fear, a reverent fear, out of a relationship with the Holy One, said, oh, okay, I got you. And he built that ark. And he honored the Lord. And you and I, all of humanity, has been saved. Not spiritually saved. That's Christ's work. But we've been saved through that act of a righteous man who feared the Lord. You think about that. And so when you consider wisdom, how it is built on the fear of the Lord, think about these verses. And they should be up on the screen for you. Psalm 25, verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. The friendship, somebody say that with me, the friendship of the Lord. Let's say that again, come on. The friendship. That I'm praising the Lord that no longer am I an enemy of God, but I am a friend of God through Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm serious. You think about that. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. I just rejoice in that tonight. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Think about it tonight. He says, oh, the fear of the Lord, you his saints, you fear the Lord, you his saints, or those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good. Psalm 34. Psalm 103, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who what? Fear him. Whose eyes have been opened. Whose lives are subservient to his word. Have had their eyes open to the knowledge of the Holy One. Who understand that he is true in all of his ways. Amen? Then he says, Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. That's just blessing after blessing after blessing. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. So, the call of God on the Dallas campus here is to fear the Lord, to honor him, and to worship him in truth and in spirit. Amen, church? Let's still continue to walk in great wisdom. And I think about how the fool runs to reckless living, chapter 1, verse 29. I think about how the fool envies evil, loves evil. I think about how the fool leads a trapped life. And then I just close with this. Then I think about what, by his grace, how the wise live joy-filled lives, because they're satisfied in the knowledge of God, how they live useful lives, and how they live intentional lives. How good is God? And so, as we consider every week, as we run to the table, this communion table, there's no one that I've met, there's no one that you have met that has absolutely demonstrated a life of perfect wisdom and of a perfect understanding of what it means to honor his Father at all fronts like Jesus Christ. And so that's why every week I love for us, and we started this 5 years ago, that's why I love for us to run to the table of the Lord. That's why I love for us to consider this communion, this table that God has set for us on the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed. And I think about how there's no one who walks in full, total, absolute wisdom that I want to lay my life under like Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I just exhort you to keep running to the Holy One, to keep finding your life under the shadow of the cross. Where we have not walked in great wisdom, let's ask the Lord for greater wisdom. Where we have not walked with discretion and discernment, let's ask the Lord to enable us to walk in greater discernment and discretion. Where we have not feared the Lord, let's ask the Lord. Come on now, let's ask the Lord, teach me, unite my heart to fear your name, right? I mean, let's ask the Lord. And let's continue to grow up in great wisdom here on this Dallas campus. 25 years of age, 28 years of age, 30, 40, as we do life together, to continue to grow in great wisdom, following the one who is perfectly wise. And then there's coming a day, as John the Revelator says, I think it's in John 19, I'm not making this up, I read this, where those who fear the Lord, it says in John 19, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there, you know, for those who fear the Lord, there's going to be a feast one day around the throne of God. And it's going to be an unbelievable scene where people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. There will be people there that you didn't even know their nation, their people group, that language even existed. We think we know all that there is to know about all of the languages and people groups out there. There are things happening out there. There are peoples that the Lord has created. We don't even know. I'm serious now. And they're going to show up in the heavens and we're going to go, whoa, 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 what is this language? You know, all the linguistic people, they're going to go, well, hey, hey, in the heavens. We didn't quite understand that language. They're going to be singing. They're going to be languages. They're going to be people coming from all over who have, by God's grace, had their hearts opened by the Spirit of God to believe in Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a throne room party that you can't even fathom. And I can't wait. I'm serious, man. And so when we come to the table, that's what we're coming to the table to remember, not only the grace of God through Jesus Christ and the work of the cross on our behalf, but we're also rejoicing in the great, beautiful feast that's to come. What a day. We're going to be totally healed, totally removed from all of this. You know, the bride of Christ from the ages past, we're going to celebrate the Lamb of God. And it's going to be unhindered. Nobody's going to have to initiate anything. Nobody's going to have to slap music on the screen. There are going to be songs sung. You can't. Oh, it's going instruments. I just don't even have words right now. And I can't wait. But I implore those of you who are in this room tonight, before we come to the table. And in fact, if you're helping serve tonight, the Lord's Supper, if you'll go back and begin to just take the elements and let's begin to pass those out. When I think about this funeral yesterday of Christopher over in our neighborhood, guys, Christopher Gordon, you know, from Forest Meadow. I think about the psalmist when the psalmist said in Psalm 90:12, where it said, he asked, teach me, and please hear this, teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days. Your days have been numbered. They've been decreed by the Lord. He says, teach me to number my days so that I may apply wisdom to my heart. Now, let me see the brevity of life. Let me see how important this is. Let me see where my life really is. And so I just implore you and encourage you and I beg you tonight, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, have never committed your life to Christ, where, man, you just turned away wisdom and insight, and namely the gospel, let me put this before you. Be reconciled to God. I don't know of any greater thing I can ask you to do than to be reconciled to God. I pray that God would open up your heart and your eyes, asking, Lord, show me. I want to know more of what this man, Steve, is talking about and what I know I long for and I don't even know I long for. I'm finding it in 100 other things that they're failing me. There is no one who can satisfy my heart, and I've come to see that. And so who can? Jesus can. So is that you tonight? And I just call you, cry out for mercy tonight and run to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I pray that God grant you eyes to believe and faith to turn from sin and repentance to say, no longer my way, but your way. I'm serious. I pray that God grant you that grace. And I believe he will. And so, for you who don't know the Lord, reconcile, be reconciled to God. And brother and sister of Jesus Christ, rejoice in the grace of God that has come to you tonight. And pray. praise him that the wise one, the holy one, continues to keep you in covenant relationship by his faithfulness and his perfection. And his love for you is steadfast and it's unending. And so we rejoice in that tonight. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, as we take these elements tonight, we consider the goodness of the Lord Jesus on the night that he was betrayed. He took the bread with his disciples and he said, "This is my body. It's going to be broken for you. And it's going to be bruised for you. It's going to be battered for you." He said, "I want you to do this, church. Every time that you gather as often as you gather in my name, I want you to remember all that I've accomplished for you." So we've been doing this for 2,000 years, and we've done it for 5 years together. And I love it. A few of us at the beginning, and now a bunch of us. And so I say to you, this is the body of Christ. Let's eat the body of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise be his name. And in the same way, he took the cup there, wine, we have juice, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. This new relationship that I am calling you to, that I have established between my Father for your namesake and for your good, for your deliverance. This new covenant, this new kingdom that I'm calling you into, where I'm the king and you follow me. This is the blood of my new covenant. So as often as you drink this in remembrance of me. Praise be the name of the Lord, the blood of Christ.
Thank you for listening to audio from the Village Church, located in Texas. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about the Village Church, please visit us online at www.thevillagechurch.net.